Hi, and welcome to Funky Kid Podcast, episode 28. Episode 28. That's right. So, Aloy is going to start with the CES 2016 update.
Namely, how shit CES 2016 is.
Yep, there's not many products on show. So tell us what you saw on the news.
Well, not much. We were trying to do some research before the show just to see if we can find some great stuff. I thought this week would be easy because we can talk about CES, but then...
What is CES?
Consumer Electronics Show. One of the biggest in the world, hosted in Las Vegas every year.
Yeah, I think it's been running for like 20 plus years.
Yeah. It used to be called Comdex.
Comdex, that's the one, yeah.
But it was so crap that they changed it to CES, including... Because Comdex used to be just computers. Now CES is consumer electronics.
It is consumer. It's more general. Yeah. Normally we see big announcements, lots of concepts and everything else. I think this year is exactly the same. But then the big announcements and all the... concepts are basically the same. So you got your same crappy futuristic car, which they're never going to make.
Yeah.
You got your big stupid fridge with a 21-inch screen. We didn't want the 5-inch screen last year.
Big TVs.
But they increased the size of the screen.
Yeah, 4K TVs, but we saw all that last year.
8K, yeah. Okay. Last year was all curved screens, which was interesting. This year was...
Okay, so describe to us about this Toshiba. Is it Toshiba or Samsung? Samsung TV.
Yeah, this is one of two things that I could think about talking about. So this Samsung modular television kind of system. Mm-hmm. So basically, think about you got your however many inch screen, right? If you split that up and you want to join two of those big screens, so if you've got 250 inches and you want to join that up, and usually you have to deal with a big seam line in the middle,
right,
with the joints.
Right.
So this modular system, you basically can have... as many modules as you want, and you can join them up without a seam.
So these are panels you can buy?
These are panels you can buy. They haven't released the price yet, and they haven't released a
date. These are good for big screen shows, right? Big shows for signage.
Well, they didn't give us much information about it in terms of spec and how they plan to produce them. But what I can see, one concept they showed was, think about when you're watching widescreen on television at home, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you've got this system built in, you can actually turn that widescreen into a square screen. So you've got your cinema screen and then you've got your normal television.
Right.
Because you can change the aspect ratio because it's a modular system.
Talking about aspect ratio, the new one is 21:9, not 16:9.
Yeah, that's what they say.
That's super wide, right?
You can't fit that in anyway.
What kind of software or film uses 21:9? Who knows? Maybe in the future. Okay.
Wait, is cinema using this already? Or
no, cinema is using projection.
Yeah.
Well, but IMAX is not projection. IMAX is not projection, is it?
It's kind of like, I don't know how they do it, but it's something. IMAX is already dying technology already. Yeah. Nobody say, oh yeah, I'm going to go and see IMAX. Because, I don't know.
I think people still do.
Yeah. Why do they go for IMAX? Because
it is a better screen, I think.
You don't need glasses.
Yeah. You need glasses. And generally, the big IMAX screens are big.
Mm.
Right. So you get the old school kind of big screen view rather than the smaller cinema screens, especially in Hong Kong.
I thought IMAX was more of an immersion kind of feel, kind of experience, right?
It's a better screen, and then it's a big ass screen that takes.
Is it curved?
No.
It's not curved?
No. I think there's a standard for audio on it. So it has a certain
like Adobe, standard. digital, and that kind of stuff. All right.
Yeah.
Oh, just to let you know, we have another guest speaker. We have Lyrica and also Wing.
Wing.
Hi.
Yeah. All right. So moving on. What's next?
The second one. No, I'm not going to talk about the rest of the shitty things. I'm going to skip this one. I'm going to go straight to this other one, which is the Razer.
The Razer Ultrabook.
What's it called? The model number was, the Stealth Ultrabook. So this concept is pretty cool. So imagine, Razer. Razer makes
gaming accessories. Computers. Yep.
I'm talking to you, Lyrica.
I didn't know that. Thank you.
So I know you don't know. So So Razer makes gaming computers. So imagine if you have a gaming computer or a gaming laptop, usually the big, huge, massive things that you can't really carry and take around with you. So this new concept, this Razer Stealth Ultrabook, is imagine a MacBook Air type machine. So skinny, slim.
Ultra slim.
Ultra slim, ultra
but
portable.
Normally, ultra slim laptops don't have the power.
Yes,
right?
So you sacrifice portability for power. Right, and definitely it's not going to have a decent graphics card.
So how do you turn it into a gaming experience?
Exactly. So imagine you go back to a hub, you connect your PC up to the hub, and it's got...
What is hub?
It's like a box where you connect up to a lot of accessories and peripherals. So when you plug this box in, the box contains... What does it contain?
It contains a CPU, customizable CPU to your spec. So you can actually purchase... other CPUs and upgrade them in the future, and you can upgrade the graphics card. So it takes a full PC graphics card.
So it's almost like a mini PC where you could dock your laptop.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. So obviously you can connect bigger screens up and all that.
And then the controls and everything again through Razer. You can have Razer keyboard, Razer mouse, and you get the full Razer gaming experience with this portable laptop via this dock.
Yeah. So imagine I'm at home. I'm playing on PC games, full brand new PC games, full spec. I got the latest graphics card. 2 years later, I upgrade the chip, so everything's nice and fast and everything else. But then when I go to work or I go to school or whatever, go to college, I can just unplug that and I have this super portable, still up-to-date, capable
laptop.
Email, web surfing
yeah.
kind of PC
yeah.
with me with 9 hours battery life.
Do you think this concept will take off?
I think it can take off. I think eventually... our computer systems will be basically running off this kind of concept, meaning telephones, right? We go home and then we dock the telephone and then it becomes our PC.
Mm.
So eventually that will... So everyone will have basically one device, cloud
yeah.
storage and all that jazz. And then we just, depending on location, we'll have availability to
okay.
power and resources.
Will you buy something like that?
No.
Well, Wing uses PC slightly different, right? Wing uses... home PCs, so he doesn't really take it out.
Yeah.
Like I myself, I take my computer everywhere, so generally I
yeah.
prefer portability.
Yeah, I think for a lot of us, especially me, I tend to have the home PC in bits because I like to test things, I like to review things. So for me, a home PC where I can actually play around with the motherboard, the graphics card is probably better for me. Obviously,
yeah.
I use a laptop for work and portability, yeah, great. So, CES, anything else?
Wait, when did Razer start making computers? Like for me, they only just made mouse.
They started making it about a year and a half ago, maybe 2 years.
About 2 years now,
but not really pushing it. But this year, I think they've made a scene with this, Ultrabook.
I think over the last 10 years, or maybe 5 years, they've been gaining speed in terms of what they've been producing in terms of peripherals and the technology
yeah.
inside.
Yeah.
So they started by making mouse?
Gaming accessories,
yeah.
Yeah.
Keyboards, mice.
And things like that. Mm-hmm.
Super
headsets.
Sensitive mice, I remember.
Yeah.
So DPIs on there, yeah.
That's right, perfect for gaming, yeah. So that's Razer for you. And anything else that sound interesting of CES?
That's pretty much it. Nothing really caught my eye and I think it's pretty disappointing.
Right.
I mean, at a show like this, normally I would expect to say...
more stuff.
A roadmap for 2016, right?
Yeah.
But I don't think, because I've seen the roadmap, I think I've seen the same roadmap, slightly upgraded from last year.
Yeah.
It's
not much happening.
And I didn't even see much happen last year either with all these gadgets and stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interestingly, today we did some filming in Mong Kong, an area in Hong Kong where you get all sorts of different things.
Okay.
This is in Mong Kong,
isn't it?
Oh.
Yeah.
So we hit Sum Tso Po, the Golden Arcade, the Golden Computer Arcade, and today we went to Mong Kong, and this is the place where you find Sneaker Street,
Ladies Market, Flower Market,
and there's also
Goldfish
Market.
Goldfish Market, yeah, famous Goldfish Market. Loy and Wing joined us, and we did some secretive filming, right?
Yeah, we were
more nervous
in
Mong Kong than last time.
I'll tell you why we were a little bit scared. It's because Mong Kong is notorious for Triads.
Triads, rude customer service.
Yep.
You go there, you buy, you pay, you don't really batter with anything.
That's right.
And they shout at you.
You know, if the shop assistants bring out the box and they open the box, you have to buy.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Is that still?
Pretty much.
Well, they got away with it once today, it seemed that.
Yeah.
I was like, whoa, what, how are you doing?
And
well, I think we found the secret now of not getting beat up and shouted at.
Exactly. And what's the secret? Tell us.
Talk English and act like foreigners.
Like tourists, yeah, yeah, that's right. And we had a camera and we were surprised that
two cameras.
Didn't get shouted at or received any abuse. That's right.
We used your Canon.
Canon, what is it, G7X?
Yeah, and then the GoPro 4.
Yeah, and the GoPro I thought was pretty cool, but your Canon G7X was a bit bulky. I thought it was a bit...
and the battery life is still not good enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it lasts...
I think it'll last just under hour
140.
Hour and a half,
yeah,
90 minutes.
Yeah, something like that.
But we have a spare one.
We had a spare one, yeah.
Yeah, we had to put a spare one in.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so...
Talking about that, let's talk about the tech problems that we've had generally today.
Oh, right. Okay, all right, let me start. So this microphone we're recording on is the one we reviewed on our website. It's a non-branded, cheap China brand, but it works great. As you can see from our review, we recorded using the USB mic, lots of background noise. We used the internal mic, again, some background noise. But this one, there's no background noise. We used the iPhone to record and also Audacity, both on the PC and the Mac. It works great. Very minimum background noise.
As you can hear, the audio quality is like probably about 20-30% better than what we've previously been using.
Right. So,
initially, a worthwhile investment.
Initially, it worked on my original PC desktop. And so I thought, okay, well, let's try it on the Mac. That's not the Mac, the XPS, Dell XPS 13. Unfortunately,
sleep machine.
We tried everything, maybe because of the drivers. The audio drivers weren't set up properly. So it didn't recognize... the microphone will be plugged into the 3.5mm jack.
So what did you do then?
So we ended up using Lloyd's MacBook Air.
Oh, before that.
No, before that.
Before that?
So before that, Winston went through all the Windows drivers,
yep.
And then reboot this, and then
but
go
to
this website.
At first.
Yeah.
So after maybe 45 minutes of playing around and trying to install these drivers, we had to give up.
Yeah.
And then we had to plug the microphone into the MacBook.
Yeah.
And we pretty much had no problems.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well. At least I tried, right?
So you got two...
0-1.
Yeah. You got two people who used to work for Mac, Apple here, versus one person who works for Dell or GE. Systems admin guy.
Uses PC.
Uses Dell PC.
Well, I have to say, when it works, it's great. But when it doesn't work, it's a pain in the ass. Yep.
But this is supposed to be Windows 10. This is supposed to be the latest version.
The 7.
This is Windows... Okay, Windows 7.
Yeah. So, I think it's just to do with the image, you know. The driver's not installed properly.
You mean the Windows image?
Yeah, because it works great on my PC. Desktop PC at home. See, so...
Any tech problem while filming?
Filming? No.
No, not really.
Not really, yeah. I think the filming session was okay. I didn't... You know, I felt it was good. We had some really good footage. But
a lot of it was duplicate of some sort of, so there was not much new. So it was more of a practice. So we might do more of a general kind of quick video release of the area rather than just the tech stuff, because there's not much surprising there.
Yeah, but you'll be very, very interested in Sneaker Street. There's a couple of good footage on the Air Max 95s.
Well, what we did forget to do is take more pictures and videos of the crowds.
Yeah, that's right. Because Mong Kok is one of the busiest areas in Hong Kong.
Densely populated.
Yeah.
Well, mind you, though, the places we went to, like that computer center and I seen that, it's quite quiet today. If you think about it.
Yeah, it was quiet because it wasn't after work time and it wasn't weekend.
Yeah, Wednesdays. Yeah, pretty quiet. But still.
Is Mong Kok cheaper or more expensive?
Slightly more expensive than some Sibo.
Yeah,
slightly.
Yeah,
slightly.
I think with Mong Kok, it's more, for them, it's more convenience, right?
Mong Kok in Hong Kong, it's the youth shopping area.
That's right, yeah.
So,
it's more centralized, everything's there,
right?
And there's a lot more people. And I guess you can do some bargaining, but again, I think, like Lloyd said, a lot of the shops are owned by only a few people, right? There's like 10 shops, but probably two owners.
Right? Yeah, well, the Hong Kong's weird.
Really?
Because you go to these centres and there's like 1,000 shops, but then 90% of them are kind of resellers, so they don't own the stock. They just rent the space and they sell for you. So when you want a product, you'll see like a demo there, and then they'll call a guy on the phone, and the guy comes running down the corridor and he gives it to you.
Yeah.
Because it comes from the main warehouse.
Yeah. That's what you do, shop around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
So when you're bartering on the price, you're just basically reducing their profit. So that's why they're willing to upsell you other things. If you buy more, then I'll give you less. I'll take less profit on this, that kind of thing. That's why you can.
And the other thing is they may not knock off the price, but they can give you lots of accessories.
And that they do well, I think.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, with when Lyrica bought the Canon G7X, she had the extra SD card.
Spare battery.
Yep.
A stabilized stick. Tripod.
Yep, tripod. Camera bag. A screen protector. So if you add those accessories up, it'll cost you easily over $50 or more. So
yeah, and the camera alone is cheaper than retail price anyway, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it was at least, you know, $40 or $50, maybe $60 off.
Yeah, so you got like 5 to 10% discount off a normal retail shop. Mm.
That's right.
Plus you got the like 20% versus plus in value of accessories thrown in. So it's a pretty good deal. I mean, most of those accessories are like third party and they really shit quality, but then what can you expect?
That's right, yeah.
What do you expect? Chopping the badges.
Yeah, but that was doing some dodgy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay, so that was that. We will move on and talk about the site updates. So, I've included the word, urban word of the week.
What's the urban word? This is Winston showing his age.
Yeah, well, they have this urban word, things like...
He's trying to sound cool.
So last week we had master dating.
Oh, and didn't I stick that up on Facebook?
Yeah, and asshole.
I think he stole it.
Master dating.
Master dating.
Master dating.
Yeah.
Like, not master dating.
So solo dating, so like go and sit on your own. Instead of masturbating.
That's
dating. So we have a few of those lined up for the next couple of weeks. I've also included a how-to shortcut for all the Excel, Word, and that kind of stuff. So a lot of people still don't know how to use the shortcuts, believe it or not.
For a PC?
For Word, Excel. And for a PC, well, yeah, I mean, you know.
All you need to know is the Alt-Control-Delete, isn't it?
Restart.
Yeah. I have a question for Mac. When I want to delete a file, how do I delete it? By other way, instead of dragging to the basket?
Yeah. Can you like right click?
Command and then delete. But make sure you...
Oh, thank you guys. Very helpful.
And remember, on the I don't know about PC, but if you command delete something
and
you realize it's the wrong one, you can
Control
command
Z,
yeah? Z, yeah. So
Control
undo,
Z,
and then it replaces
but on
it.
The Mac is a command, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Great.
Okay, so that's the new things. Also, I reviewed two items. One of them is this microphone, so this podcast kind of condenser microphone, and also the Magic Cube. It's a laser
What's
projection
a
keyboard.
That's
that Bluetooth.
One.
Yeah, yeah. So you can connect that to your iPad, iPhone, or even a MacBook. I tried that as well, and it works. It projects a laser kind of grid on your flat.
But it doesn't give you the tactile feel, though.
Yeah.
It does that...
Can you take
it's
home?
Like,
I want to try
it's like
it.
Strumming your fingers on a table.
So you've got a sore finger, though.
That's right,
just banging the table.
You should just film it like that, when you're typing, and that's the screen, and you can see it like the same.
If you watch the video and read the review, it's there.
Oh, really? So,
you put the camera in his mouth.
That's right.
Did you...
Self-view. So that's that. And also, I think Chris will do a podcast session himself, and he will send it over to us, and then we can kind of merge that into our podcast.
Chris is part of the US team, right?
Yeah, Chris, Jeremy, and also Matthew.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, guys.
Yeah, and so that's the news for our site. Oh,
what about
the big change. So thanks to my brother. FunkFlex is his handle.
FunkFlex.
FunkFlex. So
that goes back a while.
Yeah. So he still kept that for a while. Yeah. He's a network administrator guru. He's great. So what we've done is we've upgraded our server on the Amazon AWS. That means we will have a dedicated 2 CPU, faster SSD drive, and also more RAM, enabling us to give you faster content, better experience. Right now, we're using our shared services on AWS, which is a bit of a pain, because when the site gets busy, our CPU resources get shared on the VM, which isn't that great. So,
but that's a good thing, though, that because the reason we're moving is because the site slows down, right?
When it gets busy, and also the VM gets shared resources.
So we're making these changes because the website is growing.
It's growing, yeah, yeah. We want to give you a better user experience, and also hopefully, listening through our podcast, which is all downloaded from our site anyway.
For free.
Free. So if you guys want to sponsor us in any form, in any way, just let us know. Send us an email. Any donations is great, obviously. All of it will be plowed back into the site to make it better in terms of content, user experience. We do more podcasts, more videos. And, yeah.
So if I ask you, Winston, how long has FunkyKit been FunkyKit?
Well, it started off in the early days as AMD 3D. You remember that, Wing?
Before the AMD. CPU 3D first, wasn't
it? No, AMD 3D. You were one of the first guys joining our forums, and then you had I had the first water cooler unit, right? Remember that? And then Wayne came up with some condenser.
Vapor chill.
I
think you guys need to explain what that site was for.
Well, you don't want to take the whole podcast, is it?
No, like a simple description.
It's a more of a enthusiast kind of PC hardware website where we just modded all sorts of things. Modding means changing and tweaking and tuning things up.
It's basically the ultimate guide to kind of how you can make your CPU run faster, cooler,
like a max power for PCs.
Yeah.
Remember that
max power in the UK.
Yeah.
All right, and then how about a new one?
And then from there, it kind of changed to CPU 3D, because AMD 3D was a bit misguided in terms of the name, because people thought it was just AMD, but
AMD actually stood for something else, didn't it?
Well, AMD is the processor, right?
Okay.
Company. So we wanted to make it more appealing to all sorts of PC users.
Because
so,
it wasn't just AMD.
Yeah, because it started out AMD because we overclocked the damn thing, or AMD chips.
Those XP 18,000 processors.
Yeah, we overclocked them because it gave the same performance as an Intel. Back then, Intel was very expensive.
And what year was that?
God. 1989.
No.
But this site started off in 2000.
Yeah, so the first website started in 2000.
Yeah.
So that's 15 years ago.
Then we changed over to CPU 3D. That was around 2006 on there.
A little bit earlier than that, I think.
2005, 2006.
Yeah.
And then since the catastrophic server crash.
But that is when it was CPU 3D. That was when, at its peak.
Yeah, we had over, I think it was over 2 million visitors a month.
So that was the second iteration of that.
Yeah. It died off because of the catastrophic server failure.
So server backup naivete.
Yeah, well, it turns out that I was responsible for the content and also the the getting the vendors and getting the samples and everything, but then the guy behind the server administration, backup, and that kind of stuff didn't do his job properly. But anyway, it died, and I was a bit of a zombie for a while because I was well depressed.
It'd be so funny if you heard this podcast.
So I thought, well, why not restart? And just restart, and then just started FunkyKit.
So third iteration was FunkyKit.
Yep. And then it grew, and it kind of, I think, family commitments and things like that. So obviously, I didn't push it as far as I wanted to.
Yeah,
what
but
was
then
that you built FunkyKit?
It was 2010. Yeah.
Not far.
Yeah.
So it wasn't. Yes, but then I think a lot of people don't realize how the actual history, how far it goes back for this website.
That's right. It goes back a long, long time. Long time. I mean, I think Wing knows this. We were one of the first ones to review one of the Intel motherboards. Remember that?
When you broke the NDA.
I broke the NDA, and then overnight it was like, people were like screaming, "Well, how the hell did you get that motherboard?" And I was contacted by Intel and Microsoft and said, "Where'd you get that from?" I said, "Well, Asus. Asus gave us this." I says, "Who from? Where? How? Why?" You know, I didn't sign any NDA. I had the form, but I didn't sign it.
Yeah, we released that review like a day before everyone else.
Yeah, yeah. So all the other sites were a bit pissed off too. So, yeah. But anyway.
But back then, the modding scene was like nothing.
It was very niche back then.
Yeah. Very niche, yeah. It's still very niche now. The overclocking scene.
Not even niche back then. That was like non-existent. No, I mean,
in the UK, none, yeah. It was very...
You didn't even have Windows on the side of the computer's PC.
I want to know more about it.
We had to cut it ourselves.
What did they do?
That's right, we had to get the Dremel.
To cut
the window out of the PC case.
Yeah.
We had to spray paint the whole damn case from beige.
We got to get all the cold cathode rays.
Yeah. We had these LED fans and stuff, so... It was an interesting time, yeah, because I remember when my brother opened the shop, computer shop. Remember Opal Computers?
Opal Computers. I used to go every week I used to kill a keyboard or a modem card back then.
I decided to create this water-cooled PC, and this was one of the first ones, I think. It was in the UK. There may be a few others, but we were the first one to have it in Wales. And then I modded it. Yeah, so I got the modded window. I got the water cooler in place. And then I just chucked it in the front window, and everybody would just walk past it. The hell is that? It's like...
It's water in a computer.
Yeah. But that was the very first, you know, back in the day. And, I mean, I still remember those hedgehog coolers. I don't know if you remember.
Oh, yeah, I remember those.
Yeah.
That
was basically...
Copper.
Well, copper wasn't even thought about in the PC scene. It was usually aluminium, right? And when we had the first copper cooler... And it was like bright, like orangey copper color, right? And all the spikes, it looks like a hedgehog, basically. And I couldn't get any of that. People were talking about in the US. So I thought, how the hell am I going to get one of these? I know, right, where to get it? Hong Kong, right? So I asked my uncle.
No way.
Some typo.
Yeah, asked my uncle to source it. They found it. My uncle sent it back. And back then it was almost $50 US, £30, roughly around there.
Just for a heatsink, basically.
Just for a heatsink, no fan included. And then I managed to have that first one in UK. Then there was the orbs. Remember those orbs? It was the thermal take orbs coolers.
I remember them.
The rounded one with the fan in the middle.
No, can't.
You don't remember
that? I think I've gone off the scene a bit then by the time
of
that.
Yeah.
I remember when I built my first PC, I bought all the components off you, took it home, put it together. And I brought it back like a week later, and I was like, it doesn't work. And you're like, let me have a look. You opened it up, took off the PC, and I used like basically the entire tube of the thermal paste. I just tried to stick the CPU up.
Yeah,
like,
I think
you killed it.
I missed the PCs back then. I missed the shuttle, the XPCs.
They're great. I think they were the very first company that made the... mini PCs, right?
Yeah, ITX.
I remember those.
They're great. They had the boards built on. Some of them had like onboard graphics and sound cards. Right?
Yeah. And they had even had slots for PCI cards and things like that.
They were great. They were.
And extra memory slots, and you know, it was pretty good.
At one point, I had about four of them.
Yeah, in Birmingham.
Yeah, one of them was in the middle of a restaurant doing the sound. playing the sound through Winamp.
Oh, Winamp.
Is that still going on? They shut it down.
There's versions out there you can still download those.
But then I had it in a restaurant and my office was upstairs.
Yeah.
So I had Wi-Fi connect to it and I would change the playlist.
Oh, right.
So when someone needed a birthday song in a restaurant being played, I'd change the playlist and put it onto the playlist. So I could do that. And then I'd put one in the car.
And I
parked the car right outside my office. And
so
I Wi-Fi to that
stream,
as well.
You could stream the music playlist.
I just saw the content that was stored on in the one I come from my car. I would change it.
Love it.
I love those computers.
So that was 2005 then? Four, five.
I just moved up to 2000, so about 2003.
When you said mini, how mini?
That box. Shoebox. Shoebox size.
Yeah, this is shoebox. So imagine like a big old school computer.
Cooler Master then released a 5.25 inch water cooling kit that fits in that drive bay.
Oh, right, yeah, yeah. Was it Cooler Master? No, I think it was Thermaltake.
Cooler Master, I had one.
You had one?
Cooler Master. It was literally like a big floppy drive.
Like a 5 1/4 bay.
With two bits coming off, the two hoses coming off, sits on the CPU.
A 5 1/4 bay with two pipes coming out.
I had one of those. That was crap.
Yeah, yeah. Well, back then, they were trying all sorts of concepts for cooling and water cooling. But I think it's still going on. I mean,
it's still possible now, but then it's just that the CPUs are at such a power.
But also are very energy efficient now.
Yeah.
With the low voltage, they don't produce as much heat as they used to. Only when you overclock it. When you overclock it, you're pumping extra voltage into it, so therefore it's going to increase the heat.
The aluminium cases we used to drool after, like Cooler Master.
The Lian Li.
What happened to Lian Li?
It's still going around.
We've seen some last week.
Still very expensive. But to start, it's cheaper now, right?
It's cheaper now.
Yeah.
It's more of like an average price, but the styles of they don't look very appealing anymore.
No.
Can I ask a question?
What?
When you turn on the PC and don't turn it off for a long time, it would automatically go slower, right?
No. If you turn it on,
I mean, the question is: should I turn off my PC every day after work?
You don't need to. In fact, turn it on and off actually kills the CPU more.
You consume more actually. More energy.
Yeah. So you should what you should do is let it go to sleep, or enable sleep.
What OS are you using?
Windows.
But that's your problem.
What version?
I think it's
probably 7.
7.
Yeah.
Some are using 10.
If
some
it's 7, 7 and 10, they should be fine.
Should be fine.
Yeah. If it's like XP where they had no efficiency whatsoever, then yes.
I think a lot of people.
But when you say overclock,
the overclock is the term of modifying the chip or increasing the voltage
to make it faster.
Do this by mistake.
Yeah, so it's like modding a car where you tune your engine to make it run faster. So similar thing, what they call overclocking in PCs, where they tune the CPU so that it can run faster.
How about Mac? Is it the same? Just
theoretically, you could do it. But then
I think there are software allow you.
Should I just leave it on?
The Mac generally I restart maybe once because I'm a heavy user. I use it every single day. I probably restart it once every other day, 2 days.
I start it every month.
You don't really need to shut it down unless it's some major
error.
Because
I use Photoshop and all that, so the RAM kind of gets filled up.
A restart will help clear the cache and clear the RAM, and it runs a bit more smoother. I do have to do that on my PC literally every day. Yeah, because I open a browser, not just one, several tabs, and then you have like Excel running, Word running, Outlook running.
Excel's heavy in power.
Yeah, so, but
I just let the battery die every time, and then it just shuts off.
No, that goes to standby. It doesn't actually shut off.
It just runs the battery and then standby.
So restart
new knowledge every 5 minutes.
Yeah. Restarting the computer and letting it sleep.
Or
standby is two different things.
A lot of people say that, oh yeah, you should shut it down because, you know, sleeping does use up electric and power. But
not so much on the new laptops.
Yeah,
these
I mean, it's okay. I think it's okay to let it go to sleep, even with the power plugged in, because how many watts is going to use? Probably less than 1 or 2 watts. Less than that.
Yeah, I'm not sure about a laptop, but it costs, I think, they did a survey with an iPhone. For a year to charge it, it costs you $5.
Yeah, so same thing with for overclocked PC though, then definitely check
that. Yeah, you're talking about thousands of volts, that's right.
Yeah, that's right. You have like a 1,400 watt PC.
Yeah, the power supply we saw today was like, what, 3,000?
3,500,
yeah.
Jeez. So what the fuck?
Well, power supply for a computer.
Oh.
That is all the high-end, heavy usage stuff, you know.
They're normally around $300.
Yeah.
It's like 10 times the price,
Because the power usage, and they need a very strong 12-volt line.
Mm. Constant.
Strong 12-volt line because of the different devices, and also when you overclock it, the voltage and that's what it needs.
Well, when you're running a high-end graphics card, it's basically a
definitely,
PC
yeah.
within a PC.
Yeah.
So.
And also, the more power it consumes, the less juice it will give. So you definitely need a beefier power supply. Yeah. So.
Let's do a little review on our New Year resolution.
Oh, yeah. What was your resolution with them?
Oh, I did more than enough. I the promise was that I do 1K per month.
No, the question was, what was your resolution?
To do some running.
No, what was the end goal?
The end goal is to do a race, right?
A 10K race, specifically,
right? A 10K race.
Yeah.
To finish it before the cut-off time.
That's right. So
in 2016, by the end of 2016.
Exactly. So the aim was to do 1K a month, every month. Cumulative. So basically 1 month, 1K, second month, 2K, third month, 3K.
Did you do last year? Last week?
Last week, I did more than 7K, right?
You did. Yeah, you did the first run of by yourself, about a K, kilometer.
Yeah.
Then we did the second run as a group of three of us, and we did 3.5.
I did 3, I think. You did 3.5.
And then we did the hike on a Saturday, which killed you both.
Yeah.
How's your leg?
It's just started to recover a little bit. It was terrifying.
Yeah. I had another run honestly today, so I'm good.
If you haven't done exercise for a while, and you start doing this damn trek, like 1,000 steps up and all over the place.
No, it was 10K. It was around 10K.
We didn't do a full 10K, though.
Right. We did the full 10K.
I did 7, I think.
We were walking side by side.
No, we were walking together.
Really?
Yeah, so it's 10, around 10.
Man, I don't know how.
So Winston's then going from the last 15 years of doing zero exercise.
Just walking to the fridge and back.
Yeah.
Beer. Right, beer.
To doing almost 14 kilometers within 10 days.
That's not bad.
Not bad.
Round of applause.
Thank you. Yes. So
So now we just want to reiterate that we can continue doing these runs and hikes.
Yeah, sure, but not 10K. I'll probably do just like, as my plan, 2K for next month and then 3K the following month.
Yeah, hike is no problem, I think.
Hike is fine. You know, you need the endurance.
It's not running. It's not like trail running.
We only walked for 2.5 hours.
That was a walk?
Yeah.
It was...
We didn't run.
I think it was a huge trek, I think.
Distance wise, but we didn't actually go any faster than you know.
Are you doing us,
mate? No, thanks.
Eugenia will.
I will.
All right. So, Lyrica, tell us, where else on your plate this week? Anything?
I did a feature story on my website. I interviewed the champion team of the Trail Walker, which is like Hong Kong 100K annual race. And they're the first local team that has ever won the race. So I interviewed them and wrote something very interesting regarding their supporting team. Because they said it's not just a race of 4 people running. They had a 20 to 30 people in their supporting group to help them during the race. They finished the race in 11 hours, 58 minutes, I think.
Yeah, this is pretty crazy. Let me explain a little bit. So Trail Walker is basically a race across the top of Hong Kong mountain line. So you start from one end and you race across the other. 100 kilometers, right? So 100 kilometers by itself sounds pretty beefy. But then when you consider you're doing this on top of the mountains...
Up and down.
About
he did it, so he knew it pretty well.
Mountain. I mean, how long normally does that take?
Well,
as an average
normal
person.
Average person, like
you've got
6 weeks.
Think about it. So, in a 10 kilometer mountain trail race, you generally got like a 3 hour cutoff time.
Yeah.
In this race, 100 kilometers, you've got a 48 hour cutoff time.
So, literally 2 days.
Yeah.
Yes.
And non stop.
Non stop.
Yeah. You finish it within 2 days.
You have to finish it within 48 hours.
So do you get any sleep?
Whatever you want to do.
You power nap.
Whatever you
want
to do.
There's checkpoints every 10K.
Okay. But this team finished this up to 48-hour race in 11 and a half hours.
They didn't stop
at any checkpoint.
Call it 12 hours or 11 hours, right?
Yeah.
That's how you can do that in a day.
So flat road walking speed is about 4.5K per hour. Okay.
So literally, they were running it.
So they were faster than walking speed, right?
They
so
were
double,
sprinting.
Yeah, double. Well, it was sprinting, but double speed of walking speed, right? Whether if you want to call that sprinting, that's fine. But then they sustained it for 100 kilometers on top of the mountain.
That's just nuts.
From one side of Hong Kong to the other.
So they got, right, they got 5 cyclists, 3 cars, and more than 20 people helping them along the way. They have their preference on food, on drinks.
Yeah.
Everything, and to become a champion on this race, it really takes a lot of effort.
That's crazy.
Yeah, so if you have interest
like
in this...
That means you need super endurance for that.
Yeah. They do Ironman, which is...
Ironman, yeah, that's probably the most extreme, isn't it, of all?
Yeah, they do swimming for 96 kilometers, I think, and then plus 100-something cycling, plus...
So it's full marathon. It's almost like a triathlon, right?
Ironman.
Ironman
is above a triathlon.
Oh, okay.
It's like the,
oh, forget that then.
The top. Anyway, so if you are interested in the story, you can check out lyrica.lyricajam.com.
Yeah.
How do you spell that?
Lyrica, Z-H-A, and then C-H-A-N-G.com.
Yeah. Oh, you also mentioned that you put a podcast on your blog.
Oh yeah, some of our friends are actually listening to them.
Oh,
and
and what's the feedback?
Oh, God.
They like it. They really like it, and they think they learn a lot because they are like me, right? I'm not really an IT person. I use things. I use MacBook. I use iPhones and stuff, but I don't really know much about them. I just use them like a regular user. So listening to you guys talking about it, and
I think a lot of people think that tech is quite geeky and that, but if you break it down, it's not as geeky and techy as you think it is, right?
Not these days. I think back when you talk about the PC modification,
yeah,
that was very geeky.
That was extremely geeky. Enthusiastic, right?
Because you're talking about, oh, I decreased the temperature by 1% today.
Yeah. And how many megahertz of CPU you can increase, right?
And SETI.
Oh, yeah. Increasing
right?
the CPU power so you can do your units faster, right?
Yeah.
SETI.
See? Even this is
that was
fairly geeky for my standards.
Yeah, yeah.
So the modern day tech, I think it's our job. And we still struggle. Even when we reflect on these podcasts, we think, well, we could actually translate that information a lot easier and simpler.
Yeah, I mean, nowadays...
That's why I'm here, guys.
Yeah.
Well, nowadays, I think tech is more consumer tech, and tech which are more user-friendly and easy to use. And if you look at the iPhone, without its apps or ease of use of it, then it wouldn't be just an ordinary phone, right? It'd be just, you know, without the apps, the ease of use.
Yeah, well,
yeah.
I'm for one. I only use the iPhone, and the Mac is because I don't have to deal with drivers, and I don't have to deal with different images. Because even I'm geeky, and I could probably handle that. I don't want to bother with that anymore. So
yeah.
I keep it simple.
But Surface 4 Pro, we filmed that earlier, and I thought that was pretty cool.
That was quite sexy.
I did
it's
like
quite
it.
Solid build. I like
what
it.
Is that?
It's the Microsoft tablet /PC. It's pretty good.
It looks like an iPad. No, so slim. But
yeah, but don't they have that
keyboard.
Before?
Yeah, they've had these iterations as well.
Yeah,
but that's why we're on a 4 now.
Yeah.
Focus 4.
So basically, it is a PC, but in a tablet form. And you can use it as a tablet or a portable tablet /PC with the detachable keyboard.
But I said, the only thing holding it back is the software. It's the
price
Windows
is pretty high, though.
Yeah.
For what it is, yeah.
For
how much
more? You depend on which model.
You're talking about maybe 10,000.
10,000 Hong Kong,
that's
which
much.
Is...
Wasn't there when we saw that the i7 512 gig, that was like 17,000?
Yeah.
That's 2,000. That's like 2,000 US.
That's silly.
So the cheaper model was around about 8,000 Hong Kong, which is just under 1,000 US.
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
I think if they pushed it as a tablet only, and they asked for that price, it would be okay...
Yeah.
But then the fact that they say it's almost a full PC and it's almost a full tablet.
With the higher, more expensive model, that is a PC in a tablet form.
Yeah, but then
and with the docking and all the key accessories, I think.
But then there's a MacBook Pro price.
Yeah.
Right, so...
Yeah.
So I think... But then if you see the iterations, it's only 4 years running now.
Yeah.
And from what they've gone from the very first version
model
to what they've got now, I think they've come a long way.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't mind having one to play with. Looks good. Yeah.
Sponsor us.
Yeah.
So we can do a full review.
Yeah, no. Talking about sponsors, we would like to have better recording equipment for our podcasts. So if any of you manufacturers out there with a decent podcast mic you want us to review, let us know.
Well, not even that. We would actually look for two situations. Where one, we're mobile, we're walking around.
Like doing interviews and things
interviews
like that.
Because a lot of the shops that we've come across, they actually
resellers.
Want to be interviewed.
That's
and,
right,
and
yeah,
questions
yeah.
For those reasons. And then two, when we're in this situation, when we're all sitting down and there's three, four of us having a chat, trying to make sense of all this tech, we like some microphones or even software to kind of help us along the way.
That's right, yeah, yeah. And hopefully with our videos and our expert editing skills from Lyrica, we can produce some decent videos, which we can have sponsors on there too. So it all pays. To have, you know,
help and support.
That's right. That's right. So, any more?
I think that's about it.
Yeah.
Any questions about what we talked about, Lyrica? Because I'm sure you didn't understand half of what we said just now.
Oh my god.
Yeah. So, well,
is there anything like that show CE something?
Yeah. Well,
in
there's
Hong Kong or
there's one at in Germany. Called
that's not Asia.
Yeah, let me explain the global footprint. So CES is beginning of the year, every year, at Las Vegas. And then we have CeBIT, which is in Germany, Hanover. And that's around about March. Again, that's covering European resellers and manufacturers and all sorts. And then, obviously, Computex in Taiwan, which is around about June, first week of June, usually.
Are we going there?
We're planning. We are planning. So once we have our video stuff sorted and our podcasts and our equipment sorted out for that, we can take a trek down to Computex for this year. That'd be good. Yep. For Hong Kong, I think they have two in the Wan Chai Exhibition Center. As around about March, April.
But they're less.
They're
mainstream.
More,
they're more tradey.
More gadget. Stuff kind of
it's kind of like factories selling their wares rather
than that's right. It's more like
announcements,
accessories and things like that. There's one in April and one around about November. It's the HK trade show, I think. Yeah,
consumer trade show.
Yeah, so again, not as big as Computex, but
and they have no announcements during that show.
Not many new stuff on display, just more trade than anything else.
All right, I think that's it for today.
Yeah, so thanks for listening, guys, and thanks to Wing and Lyrica. Thanks, Laura.
This is Funky Kid, number 28.
Episode 28. Bye.
Bye.